Julie Hewitt, the chair of the Pacifica National Board. This is a meeting of the PNB for April 27th, 2023. It is 8:37 p.m. on the East Coast, and I'm calling the meeting to order because I believe we have quorum. We do not yet have our secretary on the call. Although she just sent something out, so I believe she's likely to join us momentarily. So maybe I will start by calling the roll while Nancy joins us. And let's see. Okay. Okay, here we go. Teresa Allen. All right, Teresa's still connecting, it looks like. Adriana Casanave. Adriana might have told me that she would be here, but a little bit late. Jim Dingman. Vanessa Dixon Briggs.
I'm here.
Thank you, Vanessa. Fred Dodsworth. Bill Foster.
Present.
Thank you, Bill. Sue Goodwin.
Present.
Thank you, Sue. Heather Gray. Heather told me she might be a few minutes late. Donna Grimes. Keep going. Julie Hewitt, I'm here. Abelia Jones, who might also be a little bit late. Ali Lexa.
Present.
Thank you, Ali. Marianne Martinez.
Here.
Thank you, Marianne. James McFadden.
Present.
Thanks, James. Darlene Pagano.
Here.
Thank you, Darlene. Sean Rhodes.
Here.
Thank you, Sean. Jim Sagerton.
Here.
Thank you, Jim. Sharon Salam.
Here.
Thank you, Sharon. Aki, yes. Tanaka. Got you. I got you, Sharon. And I got you, Aki. Thank you. Beth Von Gunten.
Here.
Thank you. And Egberto Willis.
Here.
All right. Thank you, Egberto. Let me go back through, cause I think a couple of people, Teresa Allen.
Present.
Adriana, thank you, Teresa. Adriana Casanave. Jim Dingman.
Here.
Thank you, Jim. Fred Dodsworth. Oh, Fred might have told, yes, Fred sent me an email saying he wouldn't be available for this evening. He's traveling. Heather Gray would be late. Donna Grimes? Not yet. Avalia Jones. All right. Let me keep going with, other people. Stephanie Wells.
Here.
Arthur Schwartz. I'm not sure I expected Arthur this early. And Nancy Sorden, who has not joined us yet. Okay. That was roll call. Next item up is a report out from the executive session of April 13th, 2023. Meeting of the PMB, and the report out is the PMB met in closed session to discuss confidential legal matters and confidential disciplinary matters. Next up is excused absences. And I know for a fact that I heard from Fred, Heather, who's probably only going to be late, Avalia, and Adriana said she'd be a little bit late. So the only person I didn't hear from was Donna Grimes. Can I get a motion?
I move that the that Dodsworth Jones be excused absence. Was there someone else, Madam Chair?
Well, there's other people who suggested they would be late. I didn't know whether you wanted to add them to the list, but But you don't have to. Is there a second to Teresa's motion?
To my knowledge, then, the two people that requested excused absence were Dodsworth and Evelia Jones.
Correct.
Okay.
Thank you, Bill. Any objections to or any discussion of the motion? Any objections to the motion to excuse those two absences? Hearing none.
I object.
Okay. Are there any?
I feel we should just excuse everyone and keep it moving.
So I would need basically a motion to amend the motion to change it from excusing just Fred and Evelia to excusing those not present.
Well, I would make
a move to James.
You want to?
Okay, so hang on. So I'm making the motion to amend to excuse all. Is Dingaman? Go ahead, Sagerton.
I apologize for not asking to be recognized. That's what I was saying. So moved to amend to excuse all the absence.
And so would you maybe be seconding Dingaman's motion?
I would second that.
To amend? Okay. Gotcha. Is there discussion of the motion to amend to excuse the absences of all of those not present this evening?
I'll speak to that, Chair.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I understand it's controversial to just always excuse everyone, whether they've requested an excuse absence or not. But I think as we've said in the past, if we're going to set a new policy, we should discuss it, adopt it, and then notify everybody before we implement it. We don't have to, but I think it would be reasonable to do so.
Got it. And it is correct that I believe someone asked me to send a note out to everybody, and time has not yet permitted me to get to that item. And I see Nancy Sorden has joined us. Nancy, we took the roll call, so I'll send you that stuff in just a moment. Any further discussion of the motion to amend? Any objections to the motion to amend? Hearing none, the motion to excuse is amended. Is there any further discussion of the motion to excuse the absences of those not present? Hearing none, are there any objections to the motion to excuse the absences of those not present? Hearing none, that passes by acclamation. Okay, which brings us to identifying timekeepers. I need someone to time items. Any volunteers? Is it because I always do it in the other order? I start with people. I don't remember what I do, to be honest. I need a volunteer for items and a volunteer for people. Speak up.
I'll
for
volunteer
either.
For people.
Thank you, McFadden. Can I get someone to volunteer to time us on items? Anyone? All right, well, I'll go get my other device. Okay, that brings us to approving the open portion of the agenda, which I will read out here now. So after this item, after agenda approval, item three is approving minutes from open sessions for 5 minutes. Item four is the ED report and Q&A for 20 minutes. Item five is the general counsel report and Q&A for 20 minutes, although I don't know if we have one in open session. Item six is a motion on KPFT delegate Mike Lewis. That's 20 minutes. Item seven is an update on KPFK LSB meetings. That's a 10-minute item, followed by unfinished business, new business, and then a motion to move into an executive session at time certain of 10 p.m.
Adriana.
Thank you, Adriana. And I'm making note of the fact that Adriana is now here. At the same time, thank you, Adriana. Is there a second of the agenda for this evening?
I'll second it.
Thank you, Teresa. Any discussion of the agenda? Hearing none, are there any objections to approving the agenda? Hearing none, the agenda is approved. And we move on to the next item, which is a 5-minute item. And I shall begin the timer. And that 5-minute item is approving minutes of the open sessions of, and this is what I have, March 30th and April 6th. And those minutes were attached to the email that I sent out earlier. And I do believe that Nancy may have sent out corrected minutes from a meeting in February where we talked about correcting those minutes perhaps last week. Is that right, Nancy?
Yes, I sent out, can everybody hear me? I'm sorry, I was having trouble getting my...
Yes,
it was corrected, the amendment to the motion on setting up the strategic planning committee. The amendment was to add the PNB secretary to the membership of the strategic planning committee. And that was passed with one objection, and then the main motion passed without an objection. That what I just said was added to the minutes for the February 23rd meeting.
Thank you. And I will also make note of the fact that it appears that Avalia is here now.
Yay. Thank you.
Yep. Okay. Is there any further discussion of the minutes of what date was that again in February, Nancy? February 23rd. Thank you. Are there, okay. I'll move that we approve the minutes of February 23rd. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you, Dingman. Any objection to approving the minutes of February 23rd as amended? Hearing none, we'll consider those minutes approved. Let's move on to the March 30th open session minutes. Was there any discussion of the March 30th minutes? Oops, wait a minute. I move we approve the March 30th minutes. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Teresa. Any discussion of the March 30th minutes? Hearing none, are there any objections to approving the minutes of March 30th? Hearing no objections, we'll consider those minutes approved as well. Next up are the April 6th open session minutes. Again, those were attached to the meetings, the email sending out tonight's meeting agenda. Go ahead, Sean.
This is Sean. Just a little correction here. What was attached to that email are minutes from the open session for April 13th. There's nothing here about April 6th in this that you sent out tonight.
Oh, you're absolutely correct. I did not. So I got it wrong on the agenda. It's really, you're absolutely correct. It's really the minutes of April 13th. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Thank you, Sean. Appreciate that. Okay, then I move we approve the minutes of April 13th. Can I get a second? Anyone?
I'll second that.
Thank you, Teresa. Thank you. Any discussion of the April 13th minutes? Hearing none. Are there any objections to approving the April 13th minutes? Hearing no objections, we'll consider those minutes approved as well. Thank you, everyone. That brings us to the Executive Director report and Q&A, and this is a 20-minute item. Go ahead, Stephanie.
Okay. Good news is that all of the divisions made payroll for this past pay period. So that's always positive. A couple of the stations were not able to make full health benefit payments, but the national office was able to cover those health benefit payments. And then as the stations get income in, they can pay us back for that as possible. So that was a big plus. The archives team also has been spending, Mark and Sean has been spending quite a bit of time organizing and reviewing the tapes that they have in storage. And actually there are four different vaults that contain tapes that have been in tapes for quite some time. And they've been in storage for almost 30 years now, and they keep growing. But they were able to let me know that at three of the locations, all of the tapes have been categorized. And they have been placed on steel racks, and now they are just in the process while they were doing that of pulling out different tapes and checking on their stability. And now that they have put them on those racks and are categorized, they are going to be pulling bits and pieces of them into the studio just to make sure that they're in good quality. But so far they haven't run into anything that has deteriorated or is not in great quality. So that was a lot of work that they've been doing recently. As far as grants and moving forward, I'm still working on the CPB grant. There's a lot of little things at this point that we're kind of just waiting and requesting. For example, we need floor plans of all the studios and photos, resumes of some of the key personnel. All of the personnel need to be listed, the years that they've been at the station, how long they've worked for Pacifica, those kind of things. So we're working through that. And I'm working with the individuals at each of the stations to provide a lot of that basic information to me. We also received over the weekend, we had to order these, but a coverage map for each of the signals and also a population analysis for that contour map based upon the most recent census. So we were able to, as I said, I received those on Saturday. The company was able to turn those around fairly quickly. So that was nice. And then I'm also continuing to input the financials from our most recent audited financial statements into their budget, and then also projecting out our financials for the remainder of this fiscal year to put into their reports as well. There are a couple of government grants that we're looking at, which is publishing. Both of them are archival based, but it's publishing historical records in collaborative digital editions, I believe the name of it was, and that's in the Department of the National Archives and the Records Administration. So that's due in November 2023. So I'm sort of looking through the criteria for that. And there's also another one that's due in June, which is the Digital Humanities Advancement Grant through the Department of the Promotion of Humanities through the Office of Digital Humanities. So we're looking at those as well to see if we fall into any categories as far as the digitization of our archives. The consolidated financials were sent out. We have been able to, Markeisha and I, meet with the general managers and division heads that had some questions or concerns regarding the financials. And again, nothing major with any of those meetings that we had. A lot of it was just coding of the revenue that was coming in. If it wasn't coded properly on their end, then it was just kind of listed as listener support and possibly not voted to a grant or to a donation or to a car donation or something like that. So we've met with everybody that's needed to meet with us. We had a lot of people just email us and said there were no major changes and everything was fine. One of the things that we are going to be doing as per the request of the National Finance Committee is adjusting the central service payments throughout the projected financials. Right now, it's just what was budgeted in that past year and then divided by 12 and spread out. So we will be adjusting that as we move forward. And we're looking at the 15% of the central service, 15% of revenue based upon the past quarter. So we will adjust that as we go through. Anybody have any questions?
Dingaman, go ahead.
Yeah. Is my voice coming in okay? Okay. I want to first ask you about the storage of the tapes. It's my understanding that we're not going to have to worry about the status of those tapes, if they've been in storage facilities over the past several decades that are around 68 degrees Fahrenheit, between 50 to 68 degrees Fahrenheit, and are not over, in terms of humidity, about 30%. So that's question number one. What are we finding out when we go into those storage units, those four storage units? Secondly, if there is a problem with the temperature, then you're mentioning that these individuals are going in and pulling out boxes, et cetera, to check the quality. Now, again, if the temperature is okay, it's not a problem. So that's the key question. Now, the second question is it possible if you can supply us with those contour maps that you've gotten that show the juxtaposition of the zip codes to the actual contour of the signal itself. And finally, in terms of the follow-on that we're going to have to get in motion to have another audit in place, what are the obstacles we're going to face to accomplish that so that we can get back in the process of building on this? Are we going to have problems paying for the audits? Is this interrelated to the necessity to gain additional resources by selling the building in Los Angeles? What is your opinion?
With the tape so far, there has not been, they've been randomly pulling tapes through each of the vaults, you know, just kind of some in the back, some in the front, some down below as they were loading them. And so far they haven't seen any issues with any of the tapes. There was somebody too, we've had some people that have requested certain things and then they've been able to find them very quickly and, you know, make them accessible to the people that had ordered them or wanted something from them. So far with a random choice, because there's, you know, thousands and thousands of tapes, the random selection so far has been good. We are still looking, you know, obviously to not have them in storage, but being able to find a permanent home for them. I've had some conversations with some local universities in Los Angeles to be able to find a place where we can store these and not have to continue to pay for the storage. I'm happy to send you the contour maps and the Census Bureau, no problem. And also then with the audit, what we are waiting for right now is just the ability to put that 50% down payment down to get the audit started. But we have all the materials that are necessary and we have had some meetings with the auditor. So when we do have the funding and we're ready to move forward, we have everything that they need and we can start that process.
Sharon, salam to the staff.
Gotcha, Sharon. Beth's hand was up first. Go ahead, Beth.
Thank you. Yes, Hi, Stephanie. Could I request that we receive at least an outline, bullet point outline of your report in writing, please?
Yes, and I can send that. Usually what happens, too, is that I will write down people's questions and then responses to those questions and then add that to the report, not only for my notes, but then when I send it out to people. So I will send it to you once it's done and I've added those questions.
Thank you.
Sharon, go ahead.
When you all are, when the people are looking through the back materials, and are they being cataloged in any kind of way? Are they just being put in boxes for now? And it'll be cataloged later. I'm just trying to find out how are you keeping a record of what it is you have.
The archive department is cataloging them. They've cataloged them as they received them. But they also then are categorizing and cataloging them as they're putting them on these steel shelves. So that's what they do. They have an ongoing list of what we have.
Mm-hmm. Questions from anyone else for Stephanie? All right. Looks like we will move on to the next item in the agenda, which I didn't actually hear back from Arthur as to whether he had an open session report. Ali, go ahead. Was that you?
I'm sorry. I tried to put my hand up during the agenda item with Stephanie. Is it too late to ask her a question?
No. Absolutely. Go ahead. We hadn't exhausted the time yet.
Hi, Stephanie. Most of us know about the unfortunate passing of Roy Tuckman. And, it's really going to hit KPFK hard. Do you have any kind of indication of what's being planned as far as his overnight show, Something's Happening, which airs Monday through Thursday from midnight to 6 a.m.?
We've had some conversations about this, and I was actually going to bring this up possibly in the closed session as well. Of the conversations that we've had so far is keeping the program going, maybe not at the same time frame that it has. We are searching to try to find someone that would be willing to continue producing that program. And again, these are some of that is conversation that I would need to have in closed session. We want to plan on keeping the programming going and slowly making it shorter to kind of wean people away from those many hours. We're also planning a tribute. I talked with Mark today in the archives to put together a tribute that may then turn into as well a national or not one at all the stations. We hope that they cover that, but that it would turn into a fund drive for the archives. And that would involve one of the things that Mr. Tuckman was so wonderful with. And one of the outstanding piece that he did was when he interviewed the Iran hostage takers back in the 70s. And then there was a follow-up interview with someone as well during that. So Mark is pulling all of that information. We just spoke about this morning and he's trying to put it together. And then what I would like to do is to be able to put together with the programming committee on a national level or the local programming committee, conversations about what to do with some of that programming blocks at KPFK, because we have some other empty spots that will be coming in as well. So the show is not going away. It's just a matter of what it will look like and sound like moving forward.
Yeah, thanks. And at one point earlier this week, it did pass into my brain that I should put one of the first items on the agenda to make sure that we acknowledge the passing of Roy Tuckman of KPFK, a longtime programmer who was well on in his years. And then I just obviously didn't remember to do it by the time I actually got around to working on the agenda. So I do apologize for not remembering to honor Roy. You know, we have a few minutes if other people would like to say something. I see Dingman's hand and I see Beth von Gutten's hand. Go ahead, Dingman.
Well, frankly, the death of Harry Belafonte offers us the opportunity to do national programming and national fundraising throughout the network, spilling over into the affiliates and do a knockout job on his passing. Because as all of us know, he always supported Pacifica going back quite a ways. So I'd even make a motion that
Harry Belafonte? Yeah, he was on all the time.
Well, I would just, you know, look, you know, we've
made a lot of donations.
Well, we've you got a, nice. All right, just lengthen, to me, this is an opportunity for us to really break out. And, you know, we had the problems last year when we were trying to do national fundraising and it didn't work out that well. Here you got a perfect opportunity with his passing to do something that would really have an impact. And so I would argue that that's something we should do. And secondly, I'd like to get from Stephanie some idea about how we're actually doing in terms of the fundraising at the stations. What's her perception of what the fulfillment rates are? Are we, you know, what at different stations is it 15, 20, 30%? I know that was
a board of chair. James.
James, what's the rule that's being broken?
I don't know if Jim understood what you were asking for, but I believe the item under discussion at the moment is recognition of Roy Tuckman's passing and anybody who wanted to say anything about that.
Well, no, actually we were talking about the wider questions to
I spoke to the chair.
All right.
Yeah. And actually I did ask if people wanted to, say anything about Roy Tuckman Jim Dingman, if you could just hold on, and it's not that you're not asking good questions, but let me acknowledge Beth, whose hand went up also around the same time that Ali mentioned Roy Tuckman's passing. Beth, go ahead.
Thank you. Yes. I chair the KPFK Programming Oversight Committee, and we've scheduled a special meeting this coming Monday at 4 p.m. Pacific time to discuss Roy's passing and what's to become of that program block, given that Roy has been an institution at KPFK for decades. There was no overnight programming at KPFK until Roy was asked to take on that task and invent that genre, invent what he did. And as I understand it, he's still, well, until his passing, he was the only one in the network who managed to make money overnight on a regular basis. He always brought in more than he cost us, and not all that many Pacifica programs can make that claim. I've been a listener of his for decades, going back to when I first got to Southern California in the late 70s, early 80s, and discovered him. And he was honestly a lot of what motivated me to step up to run for the LSB to begin with. He has about the most loyal audience, steady, stable audience in the Pacific, in the KPFK listening area. And I think it's important that we not turn our back on that audience. He knew that audience really, really well. And that's, he earned their loyalty. And I think if they've stood by us all these years, I think it's important for us not to write them out of the equation. So we'll be meeting Monday at 4 p.m. Pacific time. If anyone wants to join us, I'm letting those of his mailing list, Roy had a weekly program guide that went out, and I'll be asking that they let their listeners know too, and we'll be opening the phones more so. It's usually a pretty relatively intimate, pretty stable committee, but we're going to open the phone lines to anyone who wants to call in and be heard this coming Monday. So thank you. I miss Roy.
All right, Julie, may I comment on Roy?
Yes, go ahead.
All right. Roy proves that a strip programming show works. Some people in the network have this erroneous idea that it doesn't, but he basically blew that out of the water. If anybody doesn't know, his numbers were always very good. He had an overnight show, which is even more difficult to do. So the question is, obviously some might want to fragment that time, but you know, it's a tough act to follow. And I personally think that a preservation of that strip show should be done, frankly. And, you know, what we're just going to lose that opportunity to really communicate with the people that he communicated to over the years. And he had a rather eclectic show. And some people are probably going and screw it up. And my feeling is that that is certainly a walking poster child of the need to have strip programming and of what period of time it was that the overnights, it worked. So I don't think it should be screwed up and destroyed just to give a lot of people who don't have anybody listening to them time to have them listen to it. You should be thinking about this.
Yeah. All right.
Chair, point of information, please.
Yeah, go ahead, Vanessa.
I'm just, Dingman, what is strip programming?
Strip programming is Democracy Now! You know, a show that's heard at one particular time and is repeated again and again at that time slot with one particular set of hosts, or that's a strip program.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Any other questions for Stephanie? All right, then.
Well, yeah, that telephonic question, I think, is important. And I'd like to know how the stations are doing in terms of percentages.
Well, I was contacted actually by Virtual that they were putting together something that was Harry Belafonte themed, multiple programming. And I told him, I said, to please put that together on a one page for me. And if it would be available for all the other stations to use all of it or part of it. So I am awaiting that from him so we can put something together since they're already in the process of creating something. And I also spoke with the archives as well this morning to talk to them just in general, but to pull any information that they already had. So multiple programming is being put together from WBAI that would hopefully other stations would be willing to pick that up. And as far as also Mr. Tuckman is that we are putting together a memoriam that would also just be on the Pacifica.org website and would also be on the KPFK website. His family is very, wants to review everything prior to anything being said over the air or put up on our websites. So, we've been working very closely, with his partner and making sure that we are covering what they want us, what the family wants us to say, and that we have the photos that the family is approving of. So that started in the works last week or earlier in the week, right after he passed.
Thanks. I see Vanessa's hand and Teresa's hand, although we've exhausted the 20 minutes. So if we're going to keep asking Stephanie questions, I would need a motion to extend.
Motion to exhaust the stack.
Is there a second? Maybe one of you on the stack would like to second it.
I will.
Second. Okay, thank you. Okay. Any objections to the motion to extend to exhaust the stack of two, which is Vanessa and Teresa? Hearing no objections, go ahead, Vanessa.
So, Stephanie, PFW was also put together, the programmers there, Harry Belafonte programming. I've received a text from a longtime programmer, Joni Eisenberg, who says, check out PFW's website for a listing of the specials this week. So just to let you know, that's in process at PFW.
Okay, perfect. I will make sure that the general managers talk to each other and share programming like this because it's doesn't make sense to do a lot of us doing, you know, a lot of them doing the same work and reinventing the wheel when there's great programming coming out of, you know, certain stations that we make a point to use it. Thank you.
That's right. We're too thinly staffed to not share when it's, you know, issues like that that are issues. Sorry, you know, programming in honor of someone who's passed. So thank you, Vanessa. Teresa, go ahead.
Two questions. Did Roy Tuchman have a person that he relied upon when he couldn't, when he took a vacation or was ill or something like that? Is there anyone else that people think of as a co-host or stand-in for Roy?
There is, and that's something mm-hmm. that we can talk about in closed session.
Okay. The second thing I wanted to ask about, I think it was February when you talked about people doing self-evaluations. When do you expect the self-evaluations to be finished, and are you at this point reaching out for staff members and board members to evaluate the GMs and the IGMs in this evaluation process? And if, you know, and how are you going to make that happen?
Well, it's taken much longer than anticipated because a lot of the employees have not been evaluated before. And so going back just 1 year for the work that they're doing, they have felt hasn't been, you know, hasn't been fair. So we're trying to go back even further. But I think that because this is taking longer than anticipated and we don't have an HR department, it's basically me having to review. We have 107 employees. That I think that some of the personnel committees or the LSBs on the local level, I mean, each of the LSBs could probably start the process of evaluating the IGMs and the PDs, so we can get both of them going on at the same time.
Evaluating employees is in the job description of all of our GMs, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Do you have a time frame?
Well, I don't know if it's in the actual job description, but I'll have to look and see. A lot of the job descriptions we have a job description, for example, for a GM, but then some of the job descriptions that I've had other GMs send me aren't actually the job description that I've had. So there's like multiple different job descriptions. So I'm trying to get the one that has the latest date. Or, for example, there's a couple of GM, well, there's a GM position that's posted online for KPFK. So I'm trying to get those together to make sure that we have one job description per position company-wide rather than sort of the piecemeal that seems to be floating around.
Okay. So is there a time frame, deadline? To get the self-evaluation done?
Well, my goal was to try to get it last month, and it's just hasn't obviously happened. So I keep reminding and changing people's time frame, you know, and trying to tell people go back further from when you first started to now. Or if you've never been evaluated, let's try to do quick bullet points or a time frame. This is what you accomplished in this year. This is when your job description changed. This is when you added this to your responsibility. So it's a new process for a lot of the employees. And honestly, it's very confusing for a lot of people. They haven't done it before. So I don't have an exact time frame, which is why it probably makes sense to go ahead and start with the LSBs. Starting with their evaluation process, because I'm sure that will take a month or so as well.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, no, I agree. It will take about a month at least for an LSB to do some evaluation, in part because LSBs don't necessarily meet that frequently, and then we'll have to, you know, have an instrument of some variety and so on and so forth. So, and we might, you know, consider, you know, borrowing from what one station has done and, you know, let other stations use it just by way of, again, we don't have an excess of people and or volunteers. And so, you know, the less reinventing of the wheel that we do, the better off we are. So that exhausted the stack. I did hear from Arthur that he does not have an open session report. So we will skip past item 5 since there isn't a general counsel report in Q&A. Arthur will be here in closed session at least briefly. So that brings us to item 6 on the agenda, which is a motion on KPFT delegate Mike Lewis. And that motion is relatively short in the appendix part of the agenda, though there's a lot of addendum material which makes the item look long, but the motion itself is rather short. And I will turn it over to Adriana, who drafted the motion. Go ahead, Adriana.
Yes, Madam Chair, I will like if you read the motion that you read it better than me, then everybody can understand the motion and I will motivate it. Thank you.
Yeah, fair enough. The motion is, be it resolved that the PNB verify the violation of the bylaws and order the KPFT LSB to comply with the Pacifica Foundation bylaws, Article 4, Delegates, Section 8, Terms of Office, Term Limits, which is pasted below, and replace termed out delegate Mike Lewis with the next runner-up from the previous election, Rodrigo Bravo, because delegate Mike Lewis has been sitting on the KPFT LSB for over 8 years without a 12 consecutive months break. That's the motion. Adriana moved the motion. I'm sure she seeks a second.
Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Thank you, James McFadden. Go ahead, Adriana.
Okay. To start with, I want to say that this issue is not covered, but any decision or motion that the PNB made in 2022 or 2023, because my delegate Mike Lewis was termed out in March 2021. I add for everybody, and it's in the agenda, the chronological explanation of the violations, because Mike Lewis was, you can see there, the KPFT LSB. We brought that issue, one of our delegates, to the LSB. I put a point of order in one of our meetings in February 8, 2023 about this issue. And the LSB chair, without any consultation with anybody, and without putting any of us, the one that dispute these issues on there, nominate 3 members and make an ad hoc committee to investigate the problem. The ad hoc committee was Maria Martinez, Shane McPherson, and Lillian Kerr. You can see that I put it there, and I give to everybody the approved minutes in the March 8, 2023, the KPFT LSB meeting, in that meeting, the ad hoc committee chair, Maria Martinez, gave a report. Lillian Kerr, one of the members on that committee, wasn't present at that meeting, and I was, I arrived late to that one, all my problems. According to the approved minutes of the March 8, 2023, that I'm here, the ad hoc committee decided that Mike Lewis was off the LSB for the 2019 terms without any written report and without any proof of the finding or rebuttal of the facts previously presented, and I pasted below. The facts are that Mr. Mike Lewis was sitting in our LSB in March 11, 2015 as a listener runner-up to replace Melinda Iley-John. In November 2015, Mr. Lewis ran as a staff member and was elected second place and served until the meeting of January 8, 2019. In the meeting of January 8, 2019, he gave them, you see that they took me off the board because I was terminated out, but they allowed him to stay there to give the quorum, the 12 members that they need for quorum, even when Mike Lewis, in the election in 2018, he lost and he was sitting like a runner-up in the 5th position, okay? But they allowed him to be there to give them quorum. Then in August 14, I want to remind everybody that the main reason is this was a group that we all remember what happened with WBAI and what happened at that time, right? Okay.
And if information, it's been 2 minutes. I didn't know if there's a limit on the.
I need to present the motion. I'm sorry, and the issues.
Yeah, I don't know if whether Julie was holding the time limit on the motivation here.
No, let Adriana finish.
Okay. Then in August, I have it August 14, and I put the minutes, the approved minute there. The same LSV, decide to get rid of some of our members and seat him again, like runner up number 5 in the 2018 election, seat him and the number 6 and number 7 runner ups. And he could continue to, he ran again later on in 2019. He was reelected and keep serving. I have the approved post minutes, that I attach to everybody has it because they are posted, our official minutes, approved and posted in Pacific Camp Foundation website. This show that obviously he failed to meet the requirement of the Pacific Camp Foundation by law that said that in no event, delegate might serve a maximum, and say in no event, more than 6 consecutive cumulative years without a 1 year, 12 consecutive months break. And if the delegate serves at delegate or alternate for incomplete year, those months of service must be counted. What I'm trying to say is, you see that the LSV cannot make just an ad hoc commission and without any facts say so. I mean, some people said, I saw some answer there, some people said that because the PMB later on in October considered that the people were asking receipt the members that we are not taking off the PMB, the LSV, I'm sorry, but they never invalidate the meetings. Madam Chair, never invalidate the meetings, and like I said,
not entered any numbers. Please re.
Can you hear, Madam Chair? I don't know what the heck that is.
Yeah. Okay. I'm sorry. Okay. Keep going.
What I'm asking is, it's not any reason they can. I know that the normal way to do this, they are trying to reshuffle things. They are trying, you know, I believe that facts are more important that, they are trying to manipulate things because you can see that in the minutes of January 12, 2019, the KPFT LSV, in the approved minutes, showed that Mark Lewis was the 5th runner out in the 2018 election. That's why, I mean, they cannot keep saying that he didn't serve because he served and was an active part of what the problem that the PMB and Pacifica have with the action in WBAI. And like I said before, and I sent to everybody else too, you know, everybody's entitled to his own opinion, but it's not, you're not entitled to your own facts. The facts are there and then KPFT cannot try to justify because Mr. Mike Lewis, you know, keep their purposes. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you, Adriana. I see Marianne Martinez's hand. Marianne, go ahead.
Sorry. Yeah. Well, these are the facts. What actually happened was that I did look into it. And I found, now I wasn't even on the board or involved in any of this at the time. So I had to do some research. And what I found out was that, during, 2018, there was hello?
Let Marianne finish.
During 2018, there was, problems with, doing an election because apparently there wasn't enough money or something like that. So there was a delay in the elections. And so therefore the people were not seated at the regular scheduled time that, you know, board members are seated. So, in January, Mike did, attend a meeting and, he was there and, during the roll call for that particular meeting. And then, you know, after that, he was, I didn't see him on any other, you know, from the research I did, I could not find him attending any other meetings after that January meeting until August when, as Adriana said, there was some kind of an issue with some people were removed and then somehow they, tried to, ask Mike if he would, serve again. But when I looked at the meetings, I could not see that he was actually at the meeting or that he was on any, you know, roll call. I did not hear a roll call. I did not see, that he was on the attendance list. So what happened in August, I'm not too sure, but I do know that that decision was reversed by the PNB. The people who were removed were replaced again, were put back onto the back onto the LSB. I'm sorry. And so that canceled. You know, that was a cancellation by the PNB. And all of these things were things that happened. You know, it was beyond the control of the LSB. It was actually the PNB that was making these decisions. And, you know, from my opinion, I would say that through no fault of his own, Mike, as a good Pacifican, and he's always been a good Pacifican, he's a good board member. He does his duty. He always attends meetings. He's also works on running the board at the station and he's a good volunteer. I feel that to attack Mike and like in this fashion is just so un-Pacifican and very unpeaceful. You know, it's just not the kind of thing that we should be doing. And he was doing what he was asked to do. And following the rules and doing the best that he knew how to do for our radio station. And, personally myself, I think that, you know, Mike should not be penalized for the mistakes or the errors or the whatever issues we have. We should just try to learn from whatever, you know, problems we have in the bylaws concerning, you know, the placement of members onto these boards and things. But, that's what I found out. And, you know, after looking into it. And, you know, we've also sent you a more thorough, analysis of, you know, how we feel, myself, Teresa and Egberto, that we feel that, Mike should be given some consideration and not removed from the LSB. And we've sent you that email. I hope everyone got it because I was having trouble with my computer. But, that is, our statement. Thank you.
Thanks, Marianne. I see, Teresa's hand up. Go ahead, Teresa. You're muted. Teresa, you're muted.
I think Marianne is wrong in one point. In Mike was on the board on January the 9th of 2019 and February 13th. The new board was not seated until the February meeting because the NES extended times for people to vote. And just as certain people are serving on the PNB right now, because, for example, the LSB at KPFK has not selected new board members, there are times, and it is covered in our bylaws, and it's also covered in Robert's rules that you expect a person to stay seated until the new people are seated. And I think that's what was happening there. If he had, if those people had just said, well, it's December and those new people are not here, therefore we're not going to be here. One might not know, because they were extending those elections, you don't know how many months they might have been extending it. So I think that those people that in that situation, and it's not just at KPFT, I have a funny feeling that if you looked, that you would find people at other stations that were waiting and accommodating the NES and accommodating the PNB by holding those positions and trying to assist in running the station until the new people were seated. So that, I think that some consideration should be given to that. And that happened in 2019 because the 2018 people, they were supposed to be seated in December. They were not seated until February. And the PNB nullified, the PNB specifically nullified the service of the situation that happened later on in the year. I was not on the board at the time, but it was very, actually I was on the board. It was very confusing because, I guess the officers of the board claimed that if the staff members did not document their volunteer time or their time, then they needed to be removed and replaced by people. And they were asked several times to document the number of hours to see if they satisfied the terms of the bylaws. So the PNB specifically took action on that and replaced them. So I think I hope people will read the challenge to seating of Mike Lewis as a delegate. And we might even want to consider, I think that Aki sent something out that has to do with a group to investigate the fact that if elections are held
over. We're at time on this.
What do you mean?
If elections are held over, it affects things down the line. Thank you for your patience.
Thank you, Teresa. Next up is McFadden.
There's a lot of really great people that work for Pacifica and volunteer for Pacifica and volunteer for various stations. But, and if we're going to make decisions on whether we think somebody's a good guy or let's say he's not a good guy. So we're going to enforce the rules, in this case, or if they're a good guy, then we're not going to enforce the rules. I think that's not a criteria. We just can't behave that way. And I think we have to, I'm really not interested in funny feelings, funny feelings about what might be the case. I wouldn't really kind of just stick to the facts on this. And the fact is that if we enforce rules, it's not an attack on an individual. This is not an attack on this person. It's just that says that the rules have been bent and as the PNB, we need to make sure that we try the best we can to follow the rules. And, so unless you can show that the bylaws have not been violated in this, which say that you can't have, you need a 12-month hiatus, after serving. And I think we just have to stick to the rules. It's just, it has nothing to do with attacking people, has nothing to do with anything, but just kind of following what our bylaws say.
Next up is Adriana.
Yes, Madam Chair. Basically, one of the problems here is, like the previous speaker said, it's not how good the people are or not. The reality is we excuse everything. We excuse our people. We let it go. They took me out of that meeting because I was termed out. With my 6 years, was termed out. And, but they allow people that are with them. They need it for quorum. They need it for all that we are doing. And it's a bunch of meetings that happen and I'm not even posted there. What I present to all of you is what posted, officially posted, approved minutes in the official Pacifica website. And my Lewis was January 8, 2019, August 14, 2019, and seated again in December 2019 in the new election. And it's not because he didn't write. He ran in 2018 election, but didn't win. Was the fifth runner up. That's why I was sitting again in 2014, in August 2019. The problem is not, like somebody said, if he's right or wrong or whatever, we cannot twist the facts and every reason is good. I know a lot of people that were really good and they are not here. I'm very sorry, but you know, the facts are the facts. And one of the reasons that I want to add is one of the person that was in that ad hoc committee, I talked to that person before sending this to the PMB, because I know that person and I know that is an honest person. And she told me that part of all this discussion that that ad hoc committee had in KPFT were people involved there that have nothing to do with the ad hoc committee, and they try to justify, like I said, mixing all the things. I sent there, and you can see it, that even in June 12, 2019, it's proven that he was a fit runner.
And, it means have and I'm nothing. The speaker.
Okay, yeah, that's okay. But like I said, the rules, I think that the rules are there to follow. Okay, thank you.
Thanks. Darlene's up next.
Yeah, I'm just making sure I understand. So in the year 2019, by the way, I came onto the board in 2021 and, 2022. Oh dear. How long have I been here? 2022. We were not seated until, the end of February, beginning of March, because there were people that were terming off that weren't quite ready and there had to be some discussions. And so the PMB wanted to let the discussions go on before the new members were seated. So I haven't heard this argument in the past, but here we go. So in 2019, this fellow, I do not know him, turned out and he was ready to go. And the LSB, because of the PNB not have being ready to have new members and new elections and turning over, he came at the request of the legitimate LSB, since we're using those terms lately, the legitimate LSB to hold a seat until a fill-in, until the election could be completed or certified or whatever it was, whatever it was, such that he didn't stay off the PNB, the LSB for any reason, for precisely 12 months. Is that where we are? Is that where we are? His precision of 12 months wasn't met because of the mishigas with the PNB and how it affected the LSB.
Yes.
Come on, the speaker.
I do believe, Darlene, that seems at least to me to be the crux of the question here. Aki's next.
Sorry. Yeah, this sort of reminiscent of what happened with the election and all the Jewish lawsuit and whatnot. There's a lot of interpretation by different people of the six-year limits and what the bylaw says. And I think there's so much information, factual information that were presented, that I think it's very hard for us to digest which bylaws were met and which bylaws were not met to go with this motion. So I think that, you know, I sort of send a substitute motion mainly because of the fact that we have an issue here with Mike Lewis, and we had an issue with the, you know, disrupted election, that we should have sort of a working task force to look at those two issues. And so I sent the motion on the PNB and also in the chat so you can look at it. And it basically sort of slows down the discussion so that we can sort of actually look at what the vitals actually say instead of picking, you know, pieces here and there. So anyway, I'm submitting the motion, and you can read it. And I'd like to get a second. I can read that if you want me to, although somebody might be able to better read it than me.
Sure, Matt, you're nice.
Yeah, go ahead, Sagerton.
Just second Aki's motion.
Oh, of course. Let me... Nancy, go ahead.
Aki, I see that you sent something earlier at 3:59. Is that the motion that you're talking
right.
about?
Right. I just sent it to the PNB again. Oh, okay. Just to get...
It's in the chat.
It's both in the chat and in email for
people
who can't see the chat. And I'm going to mute Sagerton just because I think he muted himself because I think there was background noise. And Aki, I'll read it for you if you would like me to.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Okay. The motion.
Did the motion have a second?
Sagerton seconded it. The motion is, whereas the postponement of the 2022 elections to 2023 and delays in prior years have disrupted the timing of terms, whereas exigent circumstances of different kinds not anticipated by the bylaws have resulted in these delays for which the bylaws offer no roadmap to deal with remedies or consequences, therefore, be it resolved that the chair create a working group to create a holistic approach to address inconsistencies and omissions in the bylaws and recommend options to deal with the impact of election delays on defining terms. Aki, would you like to further motivate?
Well, I think
Sagerton already seconded. Go ahead, Aki, if you'd like to further motivate.
Well, I think that in introducing it, I already mentioned the fact that we had this chaotic situation with the delegate selection, mainly in interpreting the vitals definition or what it means to be a term. And here we have exactly the same situation. And I think that it would be worthwhile to take some time to actually look, we can come to a consensus instead of, you know, picking small pieces here and there and interpreting it one way or the other. I'd like to have the PNB to sort of have a consensus that, you know, the terms mean certain things. Even though the bylaw itself is somewhat ambiguous, we come to a working...
Thank you, Aki. So one thing is, I see actually a bunch more hands up, and now we have a substitute motion on the floor, and we were out of time, so I'm going to need a motion to extend.
I'll move to extend 10 minutes.
Okay, thank
move
you, Teresa.
I moved to exhaust the... The least, we have obviously two people there with the cancer.
I see. If we exhaust the step, well, you know, we could. We can either exhaust the stack or we could extend for 10 minutes. If the 10 minutes isn't enough to exhaust the stack, we could also do another motion to extend. The stack at the moment is Aki, Sagerton, Dingaman, Darlene, Adriana, myself, and Beth.
Aki just spoke and present the motion.
I'm sorry. His hand was up and I was reading the names off. So it starts with Sagerton. Okay. So, once again, we are at the point where we need a motion to extend, and we have, a motion to extend by 10 and a motion to extend to exhaust the stack, but I need a second for at least one of those motions.
I second the motion to extend by 10. That was first. Donna.
Thank you, Donna. Also, please note that Donna Grimes has joined the meeting. Okay. Are there any objections to the motion to extend by 10 minutes? Hearing none, we'll go for 10 and then we'll see what happens. Okay. Sagerton.
Thank you, Chair. Yep. Thank you. Can you hear me?
Yes. Go ahead.
Good. I'm switching back and forth between Zoom and the phone. Yes, as Aki pointed out, here we are again dealing with this issue. And I just want to say that the phrase "in no event" occurs in a discussion of what happens when people have service that's interrupted over a period of time for whatever reason, whether they take a partial term and then they get elected to a full term or whatever manner that it occurs where a person's service gets interrupted. The phrase "in no event" refers to however that happened, you can't serve more than 12 months. The thing that the bylaws are completely silent about is what to do if you don't have an election. And many other parts of the bylaws are dependent on the elections in order to replace delegates and to determine when a term ends. And in one specific place in the bylaws, it says a person serves until they're properly replaced, meaning until there's an election. So the whole notion that in no event can you serve more than 12 months, I don't think was in the minds of the writers of the bylaws, but because they didn't say anything about what happens if you don't have an election, it throws the whole thing open to interpretation. I just think it's unduly restrictive. Thank you. I'm just going to continue my remarks until the chair called me. I'm getting an echo. Go ahead. I'll just stop screaming.
Okay. Dingaman, you're next.
Yeah. Well, the fact is, of course, that we did not have enough money to have the elections. That continues to be something that some people dispute. That is a fact. And obviously, all of us agree that we want to have elections now. And Adriana brings some interesting points here. I agree with Aki. This has to be objectively looked at. You know, all of a sudden, bam, we're hit with something out of the blue here. So I'd like to really get, and I didn't get the responses from Teresa and others countering this. So I would just definitely want to understand it more and be fair and objective about it, because I can't do it now with, you know, just being hit all of a sudden with all this information. And, you know, my first reaction is, oh, my God, we're in another little way of let's tactically interpret the bylaws issue, which we know is the subject of a lawsuit and legal action. So we can essentially get over on people. I just want to make sure what the facts are for sure. And I agree with Aki's motion on that.
Thanks, Dingaman. Adriana.
Yeah, Madam Chair. You see how this is gaslighting. There was no council of election. 2018 election went on. And he lost. And he got the fifth place like a runner-up. It's not that wasn't money for election, and then have nothing to do with any of that. This is the gaslighting that is being added to make people believe that it's exactly that the situation that the PNB that we are suffering since 2022 and 2023. 2018 election happened. They took me off because it was my 6-year term out. And that's fine. It means that the people that follow the rules and when it's their time, they don't discuss. Like in my case, we lost. That's it. We are the idiots. And people that try to use the system, they go ahead. 2018 election happened. He didn't win. He lost. That one was replaced. Okay? That is the main point here. It's not any discussion Sir. About those issues. Please, Madam Chair. I mean, do not confuse the that's point why I asked yeah. in the last ones, I asked the same LSP that Teresa was part in June 12, 2019, they put there, and I sent it to you.
Of information.
I'm sorry. Chair, yeah, can you tell people to stop a second? I mean.
Point of information, Chair. Are we discussing yeah, the motion or the motion on Mike Lewis?
We need to be discussing Aki's motion.
Yes, Madam Chair, I'm discussing Aki's motion because before people were talking about the bylaw doesn't explain what happened when it's not election. That wasn't the case. 2018 had election and Mike Lewis wasn't elected. It's not that okay, you need to continue because, no, it's not true.
Hang on, but I need us to be efficient with time here, and so I need people to offer new information. But thank you, Adriana. I'm inclined, it's my turn now, and I'm inclined to support Aki's motion for the following reason. I think one of the things that's obvious is we've got some issues with the bylaws, and because there are some areas that are less than concrete, and one of these is, as we know, what happens when we don't have money for elections, right? So that's one issue that would be dealt with in Aki's motion, and the reason this makes sense is because we are absolutely positively going to have to deal with that as we go into holding elections in 2023. We're going to have to decide what kind of terms those folks fill. Okay. The second thing that we that is clearly an issue here is that it is it seems to me that it is not really a sustainable situation because we are not very good at record keeping, and that sometimes some of these things, you know, are not clear, and that we should have some kind of a you know, we've got this very hardline kind of, you know, no more than 6 years, and yet it runs up against the fact that we need to fill these seats with people when the seats are vacant. And we have different ways that we do that depending on, you know, the particular circumstances, whether you have a runners up list that you can go to or not. But at any rate, there's a philosopher, John Rawls, who wrote about something called the veil of ignorance. And what I like about Aki's motion is that we are effectively trying to make these decisions when we're behind the veil of ignorance. That is to say, possibly with the exception of Mike Lewis, we don't know what outcome we're trying, you know, or what the outcome of the decision will be, because it's, you know, setting rules for the future. Whereas every other time this comes up, it's not behind the veil of ignorance. And what happens is, you know, there are particular people in place or in the situation, and it becomes very partisan, if you will, because people understand what impact it will have on the potential majorities. And everything's always about, I want my faction to take over, you know, running the board. So that's why I favor Aki's motion. So next up is Beth.
Thank you.
Go ahead, Beth.
Thank you. Yes, I would like to suggest that the natural place for this work group would be within the governance committee, given that that's where we look at bylaws. The one other time that I served on that committee, my first year on the LSB, we did have a bylaws subcommittee,
And I fully expect that we'll do so again this year. So, I do sit on that committee and I'm volunteering for that work. I think it makes sense to have it in that context. Thank you.
Next up is Sagerton. Go ahead, Sagerton.
Thank you, Chair. I just wanted to clarify. I understand Adriana's point is different than the argument about postponing term limits for the directors this year. I do get that point. I was just responding to the fact that some people were going back to this sort of a rote, almost a religious incantation of that phrase, in no event, as if it explained the universe, and it really doesn't. So I do get what Adriana is saying about that this situation is different. It's not the same situation. I didn't mean to imply that it was. I was merely responding to that, honoring that phrase in the bylaws above its apparent intentions. Thank you.
Thank you. That ding was, we ran out of the extension for 10 minutes time. Are we ready to vote on Aki's substitute motion? And so, so a vote for Aki's substitute motion. We're voting on Aki's substitute motion, right? And so because it's a substitute motion, if this passes, then it becomes the main motion. And then we go from there. If it fails, then we go back to Adriana's motion. Okay. Nancy, can you, well, okay, let me ask, are there any objections to Aki's motion?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, Madam Chair.
Nancy,
obviously.
Okay, thanks.
Yes.
Okay. Nancy, will you take a roll call vote, please?
Yes. Teresa Allen?
Chair, will you state yes, yeses and noes, what they are?
Yes. So a yes on Aki's motion. This is a substitute motion. So voting yes now is a vote to make Aki's substitute motion the main motion. And a vote no is that you don't want Aki's motion to be the main motion.
Alan says yes.
Adriana Casanova?
Say no.
James Dingman? James Dingman? You're muted. Vanessa Dixon-Briggs?
Pass.
Fred Dodsworth, did he ever show up?
No, Fred is excused.
Okay. William Foster?
Yes.
Goodwin? Sue Goodwin, you're muted. Okay, I'll go on. Heather Gray?
Yes.
No.
Donna Grimes?
Yes.
Abelia Jones?
Yes.
Ali Lexa?
Yes.
Marianne Martinez?
Yes.
James McFadden?
No.
Darlene?
Yes.
Sean Rhodes?
No.
James Sagerton?
Yes.
Sharon Salam? I don't hear you. Aki Tanaka? You're muted.
Yes.
Yeah, yes.
Okay. Elizabeth Von Gunten?
Yes.
Egberto Willis?
Yes.
Okay, James Dingman?
Yes.
James Dingman, yes. Vanessa Dixon Briggs, you passed?
No.
Sue Goodwin? You're muted.
I don't see Goodwin on the roll.
She's on the... On
He's
the-
there.
Oh.
Ron Salam, is she on the roll there?
I'm here.
Sue Goodwin, how do you vote?
Remind me.
Yes is to vote for Aki's substitute motion. No is to keep the main motion that Adriana.
I have to abstain.
Okay. And then Sharon Salam, I didn't, let's see.
Abstain.
Abstain. Okay. I'm sorry. Thirteen yes. Four no. Two abstentions. Chair, do you wish to vote?
I'll vote yes.
14 yes, 4 no, 2 abstentions.
Okay, that makes Aki's motion the main motion. And so now I will see if there are any objections to the having this. Assume that we have discussed this to death, especially since not to death, but discussed this enough already, especially as we're out of time on this item. Let me see if there are any objections to the main motion.
Yes, Madam Chair.
Are there any additional objections?
Yes.
All right, not Vanessa, sorry. All right, Nancy, let's go for another roll call vote.
Teresa Allen.
Allen says yes.
Adriana Castaneda.
Say no.
James Dingman.
Yes.
Vanessa Dixon Briggs.
No.
William Foster.
Yes.
Sue Goodwin.
Yes.
Heather Gray.
Yes.
Donna Grimes.
Yes.
Avelia Jones.
Yes.
Ali Lexa.
Yes.
Marianne Martinez.
Yes.
James McFadden.
No.
Darlene Pagano.
Yes.
Sean Rhodes.
No.
James Sagerton.
Yes.
Ron Salam. Aki Tanaka.
Yes.
Elizabeth Von Gunten.
Yes.
Egberto Willis.
Yes.
Sharon Salam. You were here a little while ago. You're muted.
No.
No. Okay. Okay. There, 14 yes, 5 no. Chair, do you wish to vote?
I'll vote yes.
15 yes, 5 no. No abstention.
Okay, so the motion carries, and that takes us to the next item on the agenda.
If I may be recognized, please, regarding this item before we leave it.
Go ahead, Beth.
I'd like to move that we refer this to the Governance Committee.
Madam Chair, we need to have, I'm very sorry, but we passed it down. Now we came back?
We actually are out of time, Beth. How will this technically, your motion is out of order.
How will this committee or this work group then be constituted?
Well, okay, so the way the motion read was, hang on, I have to get back to it. I think the chair creates a working group. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to appoint. So for one thing, I think this does overlap a little bit between governance and elections, right? And so I think what I will do is make sure that there's somebody from every station. But part of what I will do is make sure that as there's somebody from every station, that I will, you know, that I'll make sure that there are some people who are on both the elections committee and not the same person on elections and governance, but I'll make sure that there are people from both elections and governance who wind up on this little working group, but to make sure that, you know, and try to make sure that we have a diversity of opinions here. But so anyway, and I think the key idea here is that this group is going to consider approaches, but whatever it is that they're going to do, they're going to wind up bringing it back to the PMB anyway. So it's not like this group has the ultimate decision-making authority. So it's just a working group. So
information,
I can't. I can't exactly answer the question of who will be on it at the moment. But go ahead, Adriana.
Well, my question is because I see that in the motion have to do with a bunch of things that have nothing to do with this specific motion. The group you said that the group that you are selecting will try to realize in this issue, right? Not the rest, because I don't understand. Why, what that have to do with the rest? This is in a specific motion, was a specific violation of the bylaws. And I want to understand what that means. Now the governance election, I don't know what all of this means, really. I mean, this is a violation of the bylaw, it's not any reasons. And a commission will talk about that have a time limit.
I will answer your question. The answer to the question is, the people who are referring to this as a violation of the bylaws are focusing on a very specific clause in the bylaws. That technically speaking, if you look at only that clause in the bylaws, you're like, of course, it's a violation. I think the reality of the situation is that the bylaws are, let's be frank, a hot mess when it comes to this idea that of filling terms in between elections. And the reason this is important because I'm sure we've all seen it. Good people get fed up participating in Pacifica governance because these meetings aren't always, you know, a lovely walk in the park. And so, when people leave, you know, because they can't take the rancor, you know, we have to have a way to replace them. We're always going to have to replace people in between meetings, even if we all learn to get along, because sometimes, you know, life gets in the way, sometimes death gets in the way, right? And so we have to have a coherent approach to what to do with this. And we have to have, I think, some clarity around the language of it, you know, in no event, because that's led to like an awful lot of ridiculous, toing and froing right now because people are, you know, latching onto one question, one sentence in the bylaws and saying they're right because, you know, they're taking that one sentence out. And that's what it has to do with all of this. So, and the Mike Lewis situation, we're done talking about this. The Mike Lewis situation strikes me as being the same thing because the elections were delayed. We're done talking about this, Adriana, because I'm pulling up the agenda and we are moving on to the next item. The next item on the agenda was an update on KPFK LSB meetings, and this is a 10-minute item. I did not attend the most recent KPFK LSB meeting, which I believe was on Sunday the 23rd. There was one on Sunday the 16th of April, which I did attend at least part of the meeting. One of the things that happened is, and I think the KPFK directors can perhaps speak to this perhaps a little bit better than I can, but I believe they set out to have officer elections, which was something that we told them to do, you know, figure out the Rob Macon situation, then hold officer elections, then hold director elections. And they tried to hold officer elections, and they didn't achieve quorum, and so they don't have officer elections yet. They got quorum at a meeting, which I believe was, okay, I'm sorry, I didn't do my homework and memorize dates. They got quorum at one meeting, and that's when they decided to hold officer elections. And that, then I think at the meeting on the 16th, they did not have quorum. At any rate, one of the things that I think is, it has come to my attention is that that Robert's Rules basically says, and I have to do, I haven't, this is hearsay on my part. I didn't have time to research this on my own, right, in advance of the meeting. But someone pointed out to me that Robert's Rules says that a meeting doesn't have to have quorum to count as a meeting if it was properly noticed. And so if someone didn't show up for a meeting, just because it didn't achieve quorum doesn't mean they don't need an excused absence from that meeting. In other words, you know, you can rack up, if there were properly called meetings of the KPFK LSB and people don't show up to three of those meetings in a row, even if those meetings don't achieve quorum, they could wind up with three unexcused absences. And I believe, in some sense, you know, if this is accurate, and again, I have to go back and, you know, do some research on my own, to make sure that that's indeed what Robert's Rule says. Let me finish, Adriana. I'm not breaking a rule. I'm talking exactly about the item that's on the agenda. So, the point is, if there are three unexcused absences, those people can be removed from the KPFK LSB. Now, it could well be that they don't understand that. And this may be the silver bullet that we need to get the folks who are on the self-appointed LSB, who are also part of the legitimate LSB, to, I'm not saying they have to stop going to whatever kinds of meetings they want to have with other people, but they need to start coming to the KPFK LSB meetings. And so, at any rate, this might be what we need in terms of breaking the logjam. So I would like to recognize the KPFK directors to kind of add to that. I see Beth and then Ali's hands. Go ahead, Beth.
Yes, the April 23rd KPFK LSB meeting did make quorum last Sunday, but the officers' elections have not made quorum. So the polls have been extended again until the next regular meeting, which would be on May 21st, or until quorum is reached. And there was comment that the intention was to continue to extend the polls, just to hold the polls open until they do meet quorum, even if it's pretty clear that there's no intention of making quorum at this point. I feel the need to point out that the election process as set up actually constitutes a deterrent to participation, because the count, the process as set up will slam shut the polls as soon as one person crosses that line to make quorum, and would lock out any further votes. And given that this is an extremely polarized factional divide, where the one faction that is populating the meeting that's meeting, that we recognize, will already have voted, that's going to limit the participation of the other major faction at the local station, and therefore it's perceived as a rigged process, and nobody's going to be the one to cross that line and effectively shutting out everyone else. So I would like to refer that process to this working group, this elections working group that we have stood up. I would also like to address the issue of the three unexcused absences. The people who are not participating are very much aware of that process and deeply resentful that they fully expect to be removed en masse within another meeting or two, and feel that that runs strongly counter to their interpretation of the recent ruling of the court. And to me, the way that this whole thing is playing out is just driving these wedges between the two factions that much deeper, which is extremely painful. It would be painful even to watch it, but to be stuck between those two warring factions is heartbreaking and exhausting. And I don't find it a constructive process. I wish I knew what to put forward in its place. I felt like at this last meeting, I came away from that meeting without being able to find any next step forward that I think will help, other than to keep talking to people, which I do on both sides. So I don't know. It feels like having a ball of yarn knotted up and just feeling like jerking on whatever ends we can find and expecting that somehow to untie things, to loosen that knot, and it doesn't work that way. Thank you.
Ali, you're up.
Yeah, so Beth is correct on some of her points. However, I think there were some updates that happened that she either misunderstood or I misunderstood. We reached quorum. We didn't reach quorum in our officers' election. So we did reestablish the election for officers. And these points were brought up. And my understanding, and I would probably say we might want to get Terry Goodman to let us know exactly what he understands, is what we did is we extended the elections to May 19th. So we're hoping to reach quorum before that, and there was nothing built in that the election slammed shut as soon as we reach quorum. We will continue to accept ballots until May 19th. So hopefully between now and May 19th, which is, 4 weeks away, right, we will get enough people to vote. But I think, because Beth brought this up in the meeting, and it's a good point that, we did decide that it isn't set up to slam shut or to close the polls as soon as it reaches quorum, because that would be disenfranchising members. So my understanding is it's open until the 19th, which is the Friday before our next scheduled meeting. And we moved to push our next scheduled meeting to the 21st, because Mother's Day was on the 14th, and which would have been our normal regular scheduled meeting. So that gives us ample time to try and reach out to those members who haven't voted yet. And I think we only need one or two to actually reach quorum. And I have a feeling as soon as it's announced that we've reached quorum in those elections, many others will vote as well. But there is no intent or designed to disenfranchise any member's ability to vote. I'll just have one more sentence to say. Unexcused absences. That other self-appointed board has been removing people when they feel like it, for less cause. So I hope that they will start to attend.
Thanks, Ali. Adriana.
Yes, Madam Chair, I want to remind everybody that in 2015, we have a situation, similar situation in WBAI, that have the board divided in 12 in each faction, and they went the whole entire year without having valid meetings. Because according to Robert Rule of Order, the only thing that you can do in a non-quorum meeting is to set the next meeting. And that happened in 2015. Everybody can check that. I hope that we try, you know, the law, if we apply it to everybody, should be equal if it's applied to everybody. If not, sounds like, you know, it's partisan. Sorry.
Correct. I agree. There's not much you can do in the course of a meeting if you don't achieve quorum. But the point is, it still counts as a meeting.
Happened in 2015. I'm trying to say, Madam Chair. Was a whole year.
Yeah.
Like that, and didn't count to anything.
Understood. Right. You can't accomplish anything other than setting up the next meeting to not achieve quorum again. So, okay.
Didn't count, Madam Chair. That's what I'm trying to say. Didn't count, because if not, after three meetings, people will be in the same situation, and didn't happen. You know, didn't count against the three consecutive unexcused absences. Didn't count.
Request for information. Damon.
Sagerton.
When you get a chance, I'm not asking you to do it now because you've already said you're not sure where you read it, but when you can find a citation or that an absence from a meeting that doesn't reach quorum can be counted against the person, would you make that available to the board? Just send it around?
Yes, of course.
Thank you.
Go ahead, Dingman.
Yeah, I'm glad the situation in New York was referred to, and hopefully the situation in Los Angeles can work itself out, although it sounds like it's going to be hard to do. There's different interpretations of what happened back then. Some of us find the sanctimonious attitude of some about the PNB violations, that particular set of circumstances that disenfranchised three directors from BAI to serve that year. People interpreted, the majority on the PNB interpreted their own way to justify maintaining political control of the PNB. And that is what happened, at least according, and I was sort of, that's according to my reading of what happened. So this is a difficulty with the situation in Los Angeles. One does not want to have that happen. And frankly, on December 17th, December 18th, those are the steps that were taken that some of us felt were clearly unreasonable. And so, you know, when people get all hot and bothered about the PNB this, the PNB that, the bylaws that, there have been people who violated these bylaws for years whenever they decided it served their self-interest factionally. That's what I find difficult about these debates sometimes.
Thanks, Jim. Beth?
Yes, thank you. I've never heard that in that interpretation of absences from a meeting that failed to make quorum before. I've always heard the opposite, that absences from meetings that failed to make quorum are not counted against a person. And I will be conferring with my parliamentary circles here to see what else I can track down on that. And I would point out that in Pacifica, this issue is kind of inherently polarized because absences are, there are no criteria spelled out in the bylaws for excusing or not excusing absences. It's entirely at the discretion of whoever happens to be present when the question is put to the body. And so it becomes a popularity contest. People can vote out as they please. It's quite capricious. So again, I think we need rules on that. I'm not prepared to propose ones yet, but I'm certainly not prepared to start cutting people out of the process on that basis. So in other words, I guess I'm agreeing with Adriana on this count. I think she's got it right. Thank you.
Nancy.
I think there's two different questions that you're asking here. One is, does it count as an absence? If it doesn't meet quorum, of course, it counts as an absence. And the other question is, does it count as an unexcused absence? What about people that miss the meeting because they're sick or something? They're not afforded a vote as to whether or not to excuse their absence. So that would mean everybody, does that mean everyone gets an unexcused absence if you're not there to vote to excuse people? That's a different question than whether or not you were absent.
All right. Well, like I said, go ahead, Ali.
From what I understand, this thing about unexcused absences is only being applied to meetings that did reach quorum. So I don't know what this talk about not reaching quorum is, but the meetings that are in question all reached quorum.
Thanks. Teresa?
The way I understand Robert's rules, it is saying that if you do not attend and you don't ask for an excused absence or the group does not excuse your absence, then if you have three absences, you can be, not just can be, but if your body says three absences and you're out, then someone else can be seated. I think there are some people who are intentionally not attending. And when the PNB says, this is the legitimate LSB, and this rogue group or whatever, despite what the court has said.
Self-appointed, not rogue, self-appointed.
When the self-appointed group keeps meeting and people choose to attend that one, even though the PNB has notified everyone, this is the proper local station board. These are the proper members on this board. And these other people are like, suspended and are not even welcome in our buildings and not welcome to use KPFTX and can't call their own meetings and imply that they are the legitimate LSB. Then those people that choose to follow them, at some point you have to hold them accountable for their actions. They are intentionally not wanting you to make quorum, not even giving them the legitimate LSB the benefit of the doubt. So I think that's a conscious choice after a certain point. Thank you.
Adrian, and then we're moving on.
Yes, Madam Chair, exactly. It was explained better by other people, but if Robert Wood said that the only thing that you can do, he said that you don't have quorum and automatically set the only thing, and very explicit, that you can do is set the new meeting date. Obviously, like Nancy explained before, nobody can excuse anybody because you don't have a meeting going on. It means that cannot be count against in an excused absence. It's not a meeting. It's not any excuse or an excuse. It's very clear. That's why Robert Rule of Order explained it like that. Thank you.
All right. I'll entertain a motion to move into executive session at a time certain of 10 p.m. now that it's 10:36.
I move that we adjourn to executive session.
Second.
Thank you, Teresa. Thank you, Donna. Any objections to the motion to move into executive session? Hearing none, that is what we will do.